Second Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, from the verse number 8 and on.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand.
In the verse number 7 of this first chapter, the second epistle to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians that their, Paul's, and of the others' hope concerning the Corinthians is steadfast. Paul the Apostle and the others with him had that confidence, and such a confidence that it was a knowledge. And the knowledge is that as the Corinthians are partakers of the sufferings of the Apostle Paul and the other gospel workers, so shall the Corinthians also be partakers of the consolation or comfort or encouragement or all the gifts and blessings that the Lord God is sending along with the suffering. And then as a transition, in the verse number 8, the Apostle is sharing with the Corinthians some of the great suffering, very difficult time of tribulation, testings and trials that they experienced in Asia. He said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, we see the Apostle Paul with a large number of people on the ship that is going to be shipwrecked. And in the same chapter, we have God's promise. The Lord promised to Paul that Paul is going to see Rome. So that means this is not the end of journey. Though it must have appeared to be like that, the professionals, the sailors, and the soldiers that were on the ship apparently were all desperate. Their battle for survival was so hopeless in their own eyes. They didn't have any appetite to eat. They didn't have any ability to rest. And then Paul shared with them the promise of the Lord. But then later on, when the sailors wanted to escape and just leave the ship with all the human cargo on the ship to perish. Paul told to the captain, if these escape, you cannot be saved. So what do we see? We see the proper response of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the promise of the Lord, and he is doing all that is in his power that that promise be fulfilled. Some of the promises of the Lord are not given to us to relax, just to subside or reject unnecessary fear. These promises are encouraging us to continue our battle for survival, to continue our strife for the accomplishments and achievements of the goal that the Lord has appointed unto us. Now here in the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, we see that there was nothing else they could have done to survive. All they could do is to suffer and suffer and suffer until they die. Nothing was possible in their power to do. However, something was possible, but that was the power of the Lord in them. They had the sentence of death in themselves, that from that moment on, there is nothing else they can do, only trust in the Lord God that raiseth the dead. That means Paul knew what the Lord has promised to him, the Lord is going to fulfill. And even if they have to die here, if they don't survive physically, this testing, trials, tribulation, whatever the trouble was, the Lord is able not only to allow them to die, physically die in their flesh, in their body, but also to resurrect them back into this life in order to fulfill his promises, to accomplish what he, the Lord, has promised to accomplish. Paul will have to see Rome. I would like to read these three verses together as one verse, as one unit. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In the verse number 8, it's practically visible. They are dying. There is no more life on earth left to them. It seems obvious. However, they are not unprepared. Every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ has that sentence in himself that his or her life is not his or her own, but the Lord's. And it's at his mercy and goodness and his wisdom how to use it and how long to use it here on this earth. However, I think something more than that is in the verse number 9, the time is now. We are going to die now. So they trusted in God who raised the dead. Spiritually, when we believe in Christ Jesus, we are risen from the dead into new life. But also, what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised in the Gospel according to John chapter 6 in the verse number 39 and again 40 and 44 and 54 in the same chapter, four times the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I will raise him up. So that is the final general resurrection of those that believed, lived and died in Christ. But I think in this verse number 9 is included also trusting in the Lord God who raised Lazarus from the dead and the son of the widow of in Nain, and Tabith the sister in the city of Joppa, that was returned back to this life through the ministry of the Apostle Peter. It is the same God in the verse number 10 who delivered the apostle and his fellow gospel workers from so great a death, and still does deliver, and in him they trust that he will yet deliver them. It is in some different words express the same thought. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the deliverer of many deliverances. However, what is that great death, so great a death he has delivered us from in the first part of the verse number 10? I think when a man is dying quietly on his sick bed without suffering enormously, just kind of fading away, the death seemed to be a little thing. But when we are surrounded with disaster like fire, floods, wars, destruction on every side, death looks so great, so enormous. In every situation, God is the same and he can deliver us if that is what he deemed the best for us, for he does everything for the good of those that love him and obey him, and he is using all of his wonderful works to honor, to glorify his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with all of that in mind, we should not forget that the greatest death ever is spiritual death, being dead to the truth of the gospel and living in that deadly lie, deception of the evil one. Every believer in Christ, everyone that has been redeemed in the Savior, has been delivered from that great death, everlasting death. When we have been delivered from such a great death, and we live in Christ, and Christ is living in us, we have been delivered for good. So whether we are living at this moment or dying at this moment, we have that assurance by the Spirit of the Lord in our spirit, that the Lord is going to deliver us from the present suffering, present difficulties and troubles, fears and anxieties, one way or another, perhaps by changing the circumstances and ending the present suffering, or by delivering our souls and leaving our body down here. This does not mean that in difficult sufferings we should not pray. We need not worry. When it hurts, it hurts. When it's difficult, when we are suffering, it is our time for intensive, fervent prayers. When we know the others, our fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, suffering, and we can do nothing about that, it is time for our fervent prayers to the Lord. And that is additional blessing that comes with the suffering. When the Corinthians are informed of the intense suffering of the Apostle Paul, they can react in two ways. They can say, we don't want to suffer that much. We don't want to follow the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Or they can say, well, it's not easy, but the cause, the goal, the reason of suffering is worthy all the suffering. So they join together in prayers and they pray for the apostle and every brother that is in testing, trials, in suffering. So that is an additional blessing that comes with the suffering, and that is uniting the hearts of the Christians in prayers. That also was very helpful to the Apostle Paul, to find out that in the time of his severe testing, suffering, afflictions, and so on, the disciples that believed by the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul did not give up their faith, but were united in fervent praying to the Lord. That's a great help to the Apostle Paul. The fervent prayers of the people of God have been generated in the hearts of the believers by the Holy Spirit. So these are the prayers that are pleasing to the Lord. And then the Lord will answer those prayers as it is pleasing Him. And then from the same hearts and minds that prayed for the help, there will be an offering of praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, and glory to the Lord for His great goodness and mercy. In the verse number 8, it's a great trouble that happened to them in Asia. In the verse number 11, it's a gift of God bestowed upon them. In the verse number 12, I read, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word." The believers at Corinth were grateful for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Then the Apostle Paul was very grateful and very happy about their good behavior and their growing in faith and all the manifestations of the good influence and work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, in their midst, in their hearts. Seeing these good and blessed indications of God's Spirit working in them, the Apostle Paul had an additional joy, and I would think a great joy, perhaps a quiet joy, but still a great joy. Look, the Lord has used our ministry, and the Lord has blessed our ministry, and the Lord was so gracious and good to keep us from a bad testimony, to keep us from human wisdom, vanity, pride, to keep us in His grace as we preached to the Corinthians, and in spite of all the pitfalls and snares of Satan, these Corinthians are going to believe and continue believing, and the Lord is going to preserve them in His grace. The Apostle Paul and his group of gospel workers had a good testimony in the world. They gave a good example to the Corinthians how to behave toward the unbelievers. But then, even greater testimony, in an even better example, how to behave toward the believers, to share the Christian love, charity, loving kindness, patience, endurance, and godly concern for one another. In the verse number 13 I read, "For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end." And then verse number 14, "As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus." When Paul is saying that he is writing nothing new, no other things than what he already has written to them, what they already learned, it does not mean that he is always repeating the same words. In all of his writings is the same teaching, the same Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, but additional dimensions, additional applications, additional understanding of God's will. In the same teaching, we should remain to the end of our journey. I would think that growing in the knowledge of the will of the Lord, growing in understanding of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, has no end. However, our journey will have end as long as we are in this flesh. We should learn more and more and make better and better applications and strive to follow the Lord Jesus Christ closer and closer. The apostles and the disciples whose names and deeds we read about in the Acts, in the epistles, become our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters, our rejoicing, our encouragement, our good examples, and all the others that we are, by the grace of God, helping, encouraging, instructing sometimes, correcting sometimes, they become our joy and we become their joy, and there is a great joy in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ here and now and forever after. So there is mutual rejoicing, but here at the end of the verse number 14 we find that it's going to be in the day of the Lord Jesus. We know that there is going to be a great triumphant return of the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory. There is going to be a general resurrection of the dead and so on. And it is the living hope of the genuine believers, disciples, Christians, that all the faithful ones, all the redeemed ones, all those that have been preserved in the grace of God will be risen into the resurrection of life and joy. And this is the living Word of God. It's going to happen exactly like that. But it's not going to happen to all that are talking about that. The day of Christ is every day since the beginning until the end. The Lord Jesus Christ is working. His Spirit is not sleeping. His Spirit is not weakened. The Spirit of the Lord is working every day of our pilgrimage. Today is the best time. Today is the day of salvation. And if every day of ours, of our pilgrimage, is a day in Christ, then we have no doubts and no reason to fear that on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when there will be no other change possible, too late for repentance, too late for correction, now is time to reap the fruits of all that we have sown so far. Then that joy and rejoicing is going to be greater than ever before. With all of this, we are not expected to be without joy, to be without a sincere desire to see one another, to have time together around the Word of God, together in actions, in works, deeds, for the name of Christ our Savior. In the verse number 15, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, in this confidence of being their joy and knowing that they are his joy, in that confidence he was minded to come to the Corinthians to visit them, to spend time with them, that they might have a second benefit, additional blessing. And Paul had a whole plan to pass by the Corinthians into Macedonia and then to come again out of Macedonia back to Corinth, and then the Corinthians would assist the Apostle Paul on his way toward Judea. In the verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or lack of sincerity? Was I not earnest about that? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? I think it's possible that among the Corinthians there were rumors and gossips, and some that were quick to oppose the Apostle Paul's teaching were also quick to judge and condemn him for any reason. If there was any plan that the Apostle Paul would come to Corinth, and an expectation in Corinth that Paul is coming, and that didn't come through, some disciples apparently were quick to interpret that as something very, very bad. Perhaps they said that the Apostle Paul is not reliable. His plans are good for nothing. And probably the Lord is not pleased with Paul. Something is wrong about Paul, and that's why the Lord prevented him from coming. Or perhaps Paul was not serious, not sincere. In the verse number 18 and on, Paul is answering to the Corinthians. As God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. It was not unstable, it was not undecided, it was not maybe, could be, maybe not. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In Christ, the Son of God, was the full confirmation of everything that Paul the Apostle preached, and Silvanus and Timotheus preached at Corinth and in the vicinity. I think that means that there was a wonderful harmony between parts, units of God's teaching. In this meeting today, Paul is preaching something, and that is completely in agreement and supplementing and complementing the preaching of few days ago or few months ago. And all of that is in harmony with his living, his deeds, his work. They are a good godly example and also faithful preachers and witnesses to the truth of the gospel. In the verse number 20, all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, confirmed, and in him, amen, proved, unto the glory of God by us. Christ the Savior is the living gospel, and the word of God, the living word in Christ, has been fully manifested, proved, confirmed by the Father in so many diverse ways. And now, the life of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, in the testimony of Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, has been confirmed, proving that the Spirit of Christ is living in them day by day. All of that is glorifying God, and the disciples also, experiencing God's goodness and grace in their daily walk, they also glorify God in Christ Jesus. Having reminded the Corinthians that he, the Apostle Paul, and his companions were faithful, consistent, sincere, serious in ministering the gospel of the Lord to the Corinthians, having said that in the verse 18, 19, and 20, in the verse 21, Paul is saying, he, the one that establisheth us, the one that is making us stable, consistent, the one that is giving us endurance, that one is God himself. All the glory, all the credit belong to God in Christ from us, even from the apostles. And also from the Corinthians. This verse number 21 is interesting in its own way. He that is making us stable, that is making us strong, firm, constant, with you, Corinthians, in Christ, and hath anointed us, that one is God. The anointment of God is upon Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, and the Corinthians can be united in that anointing. They can receive that anointing when they believe and obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the verse 22 we see that that anointing is not just for a short duration, not only for a special mission that will last a day, a week, a month, but they are sealed. They have a testimony that the grace of God is not going to stop, is not going to quit, and they want to be faithful themselves because they have received the earnest of the Spirit in their hearts. What is this earnest of the Spirit? All the abundance of anointing given to the apostles, all the power of the Spirit manifested in them and through them in their work, all of that is just a prelude. It's only the beginning of that great and glorious eternity promised to everyone who remains faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ to the end of this journey, the beginning of everlasting glory. Every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ receives from the Lord that testimony. When we believed wholeheartedly in the Lord Jesus Christ, we received that testimony of the Spirit of the Lord in us, that He is not going to leave us, that He will never forsake us, that He is going to be with us until the end of our journey. And we strive to be always with Him, that we may be united with Him forever. In the verse number 23 and in the verse number 24, we have something that is very special, very peculiar for the Corinthians. Why did the Apostle Paul delay his journey to the Corinthians, his visiting Corinthians? It had been revealed to Paul by the Spirit of the Lord that the Corinthians were not ready for his visit, that if he would visit them at the time he desired to visit them, that he could not bring the abundance of the joy of the Lord, because among them the things were not in good order. God is a witness that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. This is how it appeared to me, and I might not be correct in that, but it seemed to be like this. Paul the Apostle sent the first epistle to the Corinthians, and in that epistle there are some very harsh words because, well, there were some very nasty, ugly things among the Corinthians. And right after, or short time after, Paul wrote that epistle to the Corinthians, he desired to go there in person to see the change, the improvements, the corrections, repentance, genuine repentance, and wholeheartedly turning to the Lord, and then to rejoice with them and to praise the Lord for His goodness and grace. However, it was revealed to Paul, it's not the time yet. And Paul had to give up his plan and wait on the Lord. When the Lord accomplished that change in their hearts and minds, the hearts and the minds of the Corinthians, then will be a good time for Paul the Apostle to come there and visit them and share their joy and to praise the Lord together because of the corrections that they got involved in by the grace of God. At this moment, as he is writing the second epistle, Paul the Apostle is still waiting. He cannot go. He cannot visit the Corinthians because the Lord is guiding him not to visit the Corinthians before they make the necessary corrections. So instead of going there in person, Paul is going to write additional epistle. And so they got this second epistle, and so we also got the second epistle to the Corinthians. In this last verse in the first chapter, he says, we are not having dominion over your faith. We are not dictating what you will believe, what you will not believe. To the contrary, we are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Actually, God is the one that can give you the true and genuine faith that you obey the Lord Jesus Christ and do His will. I would like to make a quick review of this chapter. In the verse number 6, if we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. In the verse number 7, we have a confidence in the hope that you are partakers of the suffering and the consolation. In the verse number 11, you're helping together by prayer for us and offering thanksgiving on our behalf. In the verse number 14, you are our rejoicing, our joy. From the verse number 15 to the verse number 20, there is an argument. So I would imagine that among the Corinthians there were faithful believers, prayerful believers, those that were prepared to live and die for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were also weak believers, disobedient believers. There were those that were quick to go astray. But in his writing, the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is very careful not to separate them, not to group them. If something is good and wonderful, you Corinthians are having something good and wonderful. If something should be corrected, ye Corinthians should correct this. And so it goes on and on. He, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of the Lord, is preserving as much as possible unity of the membership and unity in faith. But that unity must be with the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel, in the Spirit of our Lord. A wonderful fact has been manifested in these epistles. The apostles are helpers of our joy, for by faith we stand.